welcome to another episode of The Back Porch. It's so good to be here with you in this metaphysical space made possible by the wonders of electricity, where we can gather, we can have conversation, tell stories, and hopefully laugh together. Hopefully, yes.
Definitely.
I am Grant. I am a pastor at First Grapevine. If you happen to fly into DFW in a big airplane coming out of the north, and you look out the window to the right, you can see the steeple of the church. I am hiding somewhere in a bunker underneath that building here with other people. I'll go ahead and start introducing them to you now. We'll go this way. Who are you?
I'm Carly. I'm a pastor here. I work with discipleship ministry, so that's small groups, Sunday schools, women's and men's ministries, things like that.
Things like that. Okay. I'm trying to talk and adjust the levels at the same time. I'm not good at that.
It's like walking and chewing gum.
Oh, it's worse than that. Yeah, it's like.
Do you know what you could do?
No, I don't.
You could let someone else talk while you do it.
Talk while I'm trying to do.
I'm just kidding.
Both. I don't want to talk to you yet.
Okay.
I'm gonna skip over you. Thank you, Carly. We're so glad that you are here, Carly. Now moving on to you, good sir.
I'm Alan, also a pastor here, and I get to do things like mission and outreach and family ministries.
Well, that sounds fun.
It is.
Well, what's something you're working on right now? Because we'll get to this other person in a second. We have plenty of time.
We're working on, I think we mentioned this last week, but we're working on the Fat Tuesday celebration right now, which will be a take-and-go fundraiser for the church.
Fundraiser.
And yeah. Fundraiser. We got lots of other things in the works. I just can't talk about them yet.
Oh yeah,
always dreaming.
Top secret.
Yep.
Do do do. Okay, well, you who we have already heard from, last but certainly not least.
Certainly not.
So tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm Monica. I work in family ministries. Also, I work with preschoolers and nursery and families.
All right. Well, what's something you're working on right now?
Lent stuff and Easter stuff for families.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
It sounds like I don't know what I'm talking about. We actually do have like a super solid plan. I just don't want to give it all away yet.
No, I know what you mean. It's like, how do I say this in one sentence without, sharing everything?
Yeah.
But we have stuff going on.
It's
and
exciting.
It's exciting.
It's going to be fun.
And if you don't know what Lent is, it's not the stuff in your pocket. We can talk more about that later. It's basically the serious time that follows after Fat Tuesday. All right, so let's jump right into talking about the Bible. Is that okay with everybody here?
Sounds good to me.
Mm-hmm. All right, we did not discuss the order of the things that we would be discussing. And so here we are. And Monica just straight up got up and walked away. That was good timing. Nice.
She's getting a Bible.
She's getting a Bible. Another Bible. She's getting a second Bible, might I add.
I know. I was about to say, she's not running shortage of Bibles over there.
I know.
One of the things we do on our little podcast here is we talk about stuff in the Bible. We walk through all the books of the Old Testament. So if there's one in particular you're interested in, you can go and find that on our podcast channel or the website. But right now we're kind of slowing down a little bit, taking it more like a chapter at a time, having a nice leisurely stroll through the first four books of the New Testament. And today we're going to start talking about Mark. Carly, do you have something you want to say to us about the Gospel of Mark? And you think about it while I continue this introduction and say, we understand that you are walking. You're riding an exercise bicycle right now. Maybe you're flying a small airplane looking at farmland in East Texas. I don't know what it is.
Do you think people do that? Do you think people are doing that? Do you know? Are you like talking about someone?
I know someone.
I was gonna
say. He didn't necessarily say he listens to us while he's flying.
Okay.
But he did say, like, I went flying the other day and I listened to your podcast. I'm like, I don't know which of the, did you do those? I didn't ask that. I was like, that's cool.
Gonna say yeah. That's cool.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't know if you fly a small airplane and listen to the radio.
Oh, that's true. That might not be safe.
I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know.
Or let's just say whenever I've gone up in a tiny airplane, no one was listening to the radio. We were really focused on not crashing and burning. Yeah. So we know that you're busy and you're doing important things and maybe even taking your own life into your hands as you are flying a tiny airplane. And so we just kind of talk about the main points, the main characters, the main stories. So you can follow along without having to bust out your Bible and your notepad. So Carly, Mark, what do you have to say to us about it?
So Mark's a gospel. So it's a story. It's someone's rendition of Jesus's life and ministry. It's the shortest of the gospels. And instead of starting when Jesus was a baby, it starts when Jesus is an adult.
Can't be bothered with all that genealogy stuff. It just jumps straight into it.
It's super short. It's only 16 chapters. Is that right? Yeah. I really like that about the book. It goes straight in. And the first 8 chapters, it uses the word immediately over and over again. And then immediately, Jesus did
more than 30 times, actually.
Euthus is the southern pronunciation of the Greek word for immediately. So how many times did you say?
More than 30.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's a lot.
Yeah,
it's a lot for 16 constant. Chapters.
Especially when someone points it out to you, and then you just hear it over and over again. But then it stops after the 8th chapter, and we get kind of to the events of Holy Week. Like Jesus turns his face to Jerusalem, then everything slows down. So, all right, Carly, what else you got for us about Mark in general?
I thought that was a pretty good introduction.
It was really
good. That's all I have for you.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. So are we going to jump? Anybody else have any general Mark statements?
Mark was written to Gentiles, where Matthew that we've been looking at was written to Jewish people. Mark was not. It was written to Gentiles who were in Rome being persecuted by the Roman government. So that's why it's a little bit different. It has a little bit of a different tone. It has a little bit of a different focus because it's written to different people.
Yeah. And you can really tell that as soon as you start reading it. That's a little different. A little different setting, a little different tone. Who would play Jesus if he took the Gospel of Mark and turned it into a movie?
I don't know. Wow. Do you have an answer?
Yeah, I have an answer. Of course I have an answer. No, I once said in a Bible study it would be Bruce Willis. Because just constant action. Not a lot of talking, just action over and over.
I like that.
And so Paul Beals, in my office, so Paul Beals made a movie poster of the Gospel of Mark with a picture of Bruce Willis from Die Hard. And then he ended up doing a whole series. And that's in my office. I'll have to.
Okay, but in Die Hard, Bruce Willis is talking constantly. He's doing a lot of things and very active, but he does not stop talking, even when he's alone.
It's snappy monologue.
But I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's
he
snappy. Well,
constantly
Jesus does
talks.
Talk in the Gospel of Mark.
I agree.
Yeah, and that too is snappy monologue. Wow. If Alan and I were athletic, we'd be really good at basketball. Yes. It's a lot of back and forth.
Yep.
But we're
no
not.
No look passes?
Exactly. Yes. A lot of no. Instead, we can just play video games.
That's right.
All right. So so the first chapter of Mark, do we want to jump right into that?
Let's jump right in.
Okay. Who wants to talk? Monica? You have 2 Bibles.
I do have 2 Bibles. Okay.
And,
and
notes.
And okay, and notes. Listen.
That's just good. You're
I
prepared.
I like to be prepared. But also... the reason I have 2 Bibles is because I'm not actually prepared. I don't have my Bible, my Bible that I have all my notes written in. I left it at home, and it was raining. I didn't want to turn around. And so I have this, my Amplified Bible, which I really like, but is not good for like quickly referencing bits of things that you're trying to find because it's got so many words in it. And then this Bible I just picked up off the shelf because I wanted one, and it is very cool. But anyway... Yeah, it starts out not with Jesus as a baby, but Jesus as an adult. And it talks about John the Baptist, Jesus being baptized, the temptation of Jesus, starting out, you know, in Galilee, calling the disciples. Like, it is very action-packed, and they're all really short. It's like 2 sentences about the temptation of Jesus, 1 sentence about, calling the disciples. It's just like, He's just busy. Like, he's just, it's like he has no time. He's got to get it written. These people have to read it quickly. I guess. I don't know. It's very, like, it almost to me, like, I know Luke is an author of a gospel and he was, like, a doctor, but this feels very doctory to me in the, like, pace and the, like, shorthand notes and, like, everything just being done really, really quickly, and you just need the facts and you just need the bare bones. It's not like the Gospel of John where it's like a lot of imagery and blah, blah, blah. It's just kind of like, this is the gist. Figure it out.
Well, if you think about
cool.
If you think about Matthew too, Matthew's trying to put a lot of symbolism in there to connect the Hebrew scriptures and this new story for the Jewish audience. And so if Mark's not concerned about that, that's a lot taken out that he doesn't have to, he's not trying to communicate. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Matthew and Luke kind of, so if you're looking at this from a nerd point of view, like Mark is the graphic novel. And then Luke and Matthew take that and write an actual novel and flesh out those panels into multiple paragraphs describing the scene.
Graphic novel.
There you go. Threw that down.
I like that. Yeah. Well, but also there is, I think this was said, but there are more miracles in the Gospel of Mark than any others. I mean, so there's a lot less, but yet there's unique content here that is very action-oriented.
Well, like, I don't know if this is true, but to me, like, knowing that he's writing this to people who are actively being persecuted in Rome, like, it almost, in, like, a really sad way, feels like he's just trying to get them this information before something bad happens to them, or they have to flee, and they can't get the information some other way. Like, I don't know if that's true, but it kind of has that urgency to me of, like, I have to get you this information right now because there might not be time later, which is sad, but I don't know. Fits with how he writes.
But if that's the way the world looks to the people you are in ministry to, if that's the way the world is everything is happening, what feels like very quickly, and there's a lot of action, and it seems like a lot of negative action, then a fast-paced story about positive things that God is doing, that makes a lot of sense to me. Let me try to pull out one thing in particular here. I was just looking at that. I'm trying to do too many things at once again still. Yeah, like I like the I like the calling of the way we go from calling the disciples straight up to how many healings in a row. More than three within a few paragraphs. And I don't know. I find that really interesting. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately, there's that word, they left their nets and followed him. Over and over and over.
Yeah, I read something that said Mark, the book of Mark, focused on Jesus being a suffering servant, and so mm-hmm. how in the like most of the book has a lot to do with the acts of service that he did, like the actual stuff, and then the rest is about like the suffering part and how
the second
his
half.
Life ended. Yeah, so it's very, you know, he did this, then he did this. Which, I mean, that's the gist of it, you know?
If you read it quickly, you definitely feel that.
Yeah.
And this is one you could read in one sitting easily. I mean, you could do all of them, but, you know, if you want to read a gospel quickly,
well,
this is the one to do.
Here's a question for you, then. Typically, let me just ask it. If you were talking to someone, let's say a friend sitting on the porch here with us in our audience who wants to read the book of the Bible and wants to start somewhere, I do tend to recommend a gospel one of the first four, which gospel is just a word that means a good news proclamation about a person. There were gospels, if you will, like which were official documents about certain leaders happening, but the word has taken on a much larger and significant spiritual meaning when we talk about the Bible. I recommend Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and sometimes John, but sometimes Mark. Do you have a thought on that? Have you had that encounter in any of the three here, or are you in the audience as you are thinking about it?
Well, I think it depends on who's asking. I would think what their literary styles are. I would go with Mark or Luke. Just that's my own personal preference.
Yeah, if I knew that a person liked to read, I would say John. If I knew they didn't really like to read or didn't know for sure, I would probably say Mark just because it's so fast. You can get through it. You don't have to, like you were saying, you can sit in there and read it all at once.
I don't know about a gospel, but the first book that I read besides the first book I read when I decided I was going to start reading the Bible in high school, I started in Acts, and it's like I grew up in church, so I like knew the Christmas story and I knew like stories about Jesus, but Acts started me off on like, oh, what did people do when Jesus left? And so that was, I think that's an, if someone is interested in church, I like Acts. Maybe I should say a gospel, but
I no, like that's a good point, because I didn't really say, does said person have a church background? Did they go to church? Because the last few times I've had this conversation, it's been with people who did not have that background and were really starting from scratch. As in, like, I'm aware of Christmas. I'm aware that Jesus had long hair and was really important to some people, but not a lot more than that. But if you do have a church background, that's a really good point. And so my answer is either John, just because, yeah, as Monica said, like John, you kind of have to like to read to sink your teeth into that. But I think you get, like, John is presenting not just the stories of Jesus, but a theological argument. Mark is telling you, to me, a lot about what Jesus did. And that's another good starting point, I think. They're all great. Read them all. They're fantastic. Pick a favorite and then argue with us about it. That's what you should do.
Yeah, I think that's what we want.
We want you to come and start an argument with us here on the porch. But yeah, I think Mark is a great starting point for the reasons that we all said. And I like the we can come to that, because I like the idea of the story of Jesus is also the story of us. And if it's not, then we're not really listening to what he said. Is that fair?
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
So we kind of set up Mark, but depending on when you listen to this, recently Alan preached on a story from Mark. Didn't you use the Mark?
I believe we did.
Version of the story for the healing, and we talk about...
I believe so.
Wasn't it chapter 2? Yeah.
Yeah, chapter 2.
Yes. Well, it's we're time travelers now, and so it's like, I know that just happened, but at the same time, it feels like it happened a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And you may be listening to this a few weeks from now, so who knows? But, yeah, I like that, like, Mark's unique take on a story that's in multiple Gospels really focuses on not just the actions of Jesus, but the actions of people around Jesus. And I like that it's included early in the book of Mark, because it drives home that point that you are supposed to respond to this. And you're supposed to respond with... So the story is that four friends are trying to take a paralytic to Jesus to be healed. Jesus is surrounded by people because he's teaching and healing. These four friends do not take their paralytic friend back home. They climb up on the roof and open up the roof and lower the guy down to Jesus. and they are recognized and lifted up by Jesus for their faith. And I feel, we feel, it's implied that they're recognized for their determination and their care for this person. But I like that that is right here very early, even in a short book. It's still very early in the narrative where Mark is saying, yeah, here's a, just so you know, this is the kind of thing you're going to be doing soon. Yeah.
Well, it's the first, the length of it, too. I mean, this is one of the more wordy depictions of one of these, because the two prior, including one when, like, the entire city was outside looking to be healed at the end of chapter one, that's a lot of people. And he spends a very short paragraph to describe that at Simon's house. And this next one spends a long time describing one miracle.
Yeah.
And I think that's powerful.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you can see that if you just... If you aren't flying an airplane or riding an exercise bike and you do have your Bible in front of you, if you just flip a couple of pages either direction and you'll notice the way your Bible is edited, that they're cut down into paragraphs, you'll see, yeah, this is, as Alan just said, like, this is a long story, this beginning of chapter 2, starting with verse 1. Yeah. It really shows, look, this is kind of the thesis statement of the book, I think, yeah. Just a thought, something to... for you to chew on out there,
in something the to ponder. World. Good, it's a good. That's a good ponder to have.
Ponder, yeah.
Go sit on a porch and ponder.
Chew on that one for a while. Yeah. So, do we have any other Mark stuff, or can we move on to our other topic of choice?
That's a good intro to Mark.
Okay. So the other thing that was on my mind to chat with you about was this is a continuation of the COVID-19 pandemic that we are living in, and we have to, and we've learned terms like socially distant, and we all wear masks like we're playing cops and robbers and we're robbing trains. And I've noticed we've also started treating the elderly like our pets, which is to say you can't get them out and socialize them unless they've had all their shots. And so
I'm gonna tell my elderly parents that.
Yeah. I can't get you out. You don't have all your shots. We got to have your shot record. Yeah. Otherwise, you got to stay like really close to home. I know that's terrible, but it's just the world is just a strange and interesting time. And one thing in particular is whenever you walk somewhere, like you walk down a street, you're on a sidewalk, you have to move away from people. It's weird to talk to someone. I was in a store and I ran into someone that I know. And just trying to just say hi, but wearing a mask, and we want to keep moving, and please don't get close to me, and oh, by the way, like it feels like, it's just, it's really weird. How can, and we as a church are, we're continuing to do as much as we can, whatever we feel in the moment is right, given what information that we have to do ministry, which means that we aren't currently, as I say these words here, we're not currently meeting in person for worship. And how do we as a church, what is the best way to be hospitable as a church? How can we be good friends to one another during this difficult time? And yeah, how do we manage all that? Because we're supposed to be making disciples. Whether or not you know what that is, I mean, that's, yeah, going out and meeting new people. How do we do that right now?
That's tough.
Yeah.
But it's not impossible.
No.
This is certainly not the toughest time that the church has been through.
Oh, no.
Historically speaking.
It's not even... I'm glad you said that. So this church has been here since... I was talking about this last night with the endowment committee. This church opened in like 1866. All right, so just as a random point of reference, this church was almost 50 years old when the Model T went into production. So wow. that's just barely post Civil War time. This is not the hardest time of ministry right here in Grapevine, Texas. But it is still a hard one, it's hard to be welcoming. Any Any thoughts?
I think it's hard to be welcoming because usually you give, welcome or you offer hospitality out of your abundance. And if you don't feel like you have much, if you feel like you're running on empty, then it's hard to offer that to other people. And I think the tricky part is when we are able to offer that, even when we're running on empty, it fuels us and it gives us purpose. I noticed at the beginning of the pandemic, people were really good about reaching out and wanting to do, and it's fatigue now. So I think before we start the conversation, it's important to say there's no, I don't think we're doing this, but if you're tired, it's okay, because everyone else is tired too. But still, how do we offer that? How do we live as Christ wants us to live? I don't know.
No, but I think that's really good, because I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but what I heard you say is, like, step one, take an assessment of where you are and what you have. You know, and this isn't about beating up on our church or myself or us, but I just see it as continuing evaluation, continually striving to do what we feel called to do and what we believe will make the world a better place. But yeah, step one, kind of acknowledge, yeah, we're tired. This is difficult. I don't want to get sick. I don't want to get my loved one sick. And how do we still move forward? Did I hear you right?
Yeah.
I think that in a church our size and, you know, that's very like action service oriented, like our people do not like to sit still. Like they want to go and do things and be hands-on helpers. And I love that about this place, but it's hard when we can't do that. So I think it's almost, I don't know. It makes me think of just, instead of approaching someone and inviting them here because we can't, we're used to saying like, oh, come to this, or, oh, you know, like we have this going on and we have this going on, like, come to this. We can't really do that right now in the same way. And so you kind of have to switch your mindset to like leading off those kinds of conversations with like, what do you need? Like, what can we do for you instead? And instead of focusing on all the amazing things that our church can do for other people, like, which is a lot. It's not even that it's a different question. It's the same question and the same action, just framed in a different way. Like, instead of come to this stuff that we're already doing, it's what can we do specifically for you that would be helpful? Because we can't just do all the same things. And I don't know, I guess that's kind of what Sandy and I have tried to do, is like, and you know, we tried doing the things that we thought we should do with the kids and the families, and it was fine, but it wasn't really great, and it wasn't like really meaningful or valuable. It was just more stuff, and that's not what we want to do. Like, I don't want to spend my time doing stuff. I don't want to ask other parents to spend their time doing stuff. I want to do things that are meaningful and that make sense and that are necessary. And so kind of like not, and it's hard. It's hard to say we're not going to do this thing that we feel like we are supposed to do or that everybody else is trying to do. Like, instead we're going to do something different. If it's more helpful and more meaningful, then that's okay. It's okay that it's not like what is normal or what is expected. Like, it just has to be important. Like, it doesn't have to be the big, it just has to be meaningful. I don't know if that makes sense, but I don't know, that's kind of how we're trying to approach it, but it's very hard.
I like everything you said, but something in particular stuck out to me, which is I think this is a time to learn not just how to care for ourselves and one another in the pandemic, but how to do it even when life goes back to normal or into the new normal, which is the old way. And I'm not necessarily saying the old way we did things here at First Grapevine, but the old way was come to the thing we're already doing and that we really like. And you said, let's ask one another, let's ask new people, what do you need? It's not even what you want or what you like, or do you like contemporary worship? Do you like traditional worship? Do you want a cool, jazzy, small group, or do you want to go on a specific mission trip with people that we've known for a very long time? No, it's what do you need? And I think that's a good thing to take forward into your church life, into your faith journey, into your friendships, your relationship with your family.
Mm-hmm.
As we look at holidays were hard, but it became instead of what do we always do, it became what do you really need?
Mm-hmm.
What part of this is most important? I think that's, I'm not going to say this is a good thing at all. I'm not trying to say like look at how great this miserable experience is. But if we allow it, it can help us shape and become better. So I like that. What do you need? I think I've done a fantastic job, which I don't just want to say to compliment our family ministries team, who are in the room and who are listening. Hi, Sandy. but to say to the person who doesn't know you and doesn't know us, if your family is really struggling, ours are struggling too, and mm-hmm. we want to help you. You know, we're in this with you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let us know. Let us know what you need.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Do you have any thoughts on this?
I mean, I think it's connection, and I think it's also it's important to manage expectations and reality as well, because what we all need is to be in community together in person. I'll just throw that out there. I mean, we need to be in worship together.
Yes.
But we have to be able to manage that with what we can do. And, you know, like I've got two kids who came to a new church, and, you know, in a matter of a few short months, was shut down. I've got one kid that has never been as connected to a church in his 11 years, and I've got another kid who, through no fault of anyone, just simply isn't. And so, you know, and there's not a succinct way to say that, but I think asking the question, what do you need, is a very important thing, because we all need different specific things. I mean, you know, Be Our Guest is a ministry that we do here at this church. And once a month, we have a big community meal, and we haven't been able to do that, so we do a drive-through right now. And so if you were to ask those that are driving through what you need, it's different, mm-hmm. right? They may need that meal, or the one woman that drives through by herself every night may need that short conversation with the volunteers that engage with her while she's here. So, but, you know.
They're doing an amazing job, by the way.
They do, oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Definitely.
I drove up here and had my mask on because I was about to get out of my car, and I don't usually drive up here. And so the excellent volunteer, and I had a weird haircut, the excellent volunteer did not recognize me and was really trying to get me in the line and, yeah. and really trying to talk to me. I'm like, it's me. Yeah, I was annoyed by this excellent hospitality. I'm like, I'm just trying to go to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, that's a great point. And yeah, trying to focus on that and get better at it, I think, is mm-hmm. a challenge.
Yeah.
A friend of ours, I guess a member of our team, our specific porch team, he put it out on the internet, so I'll say is Josh lost a very good friend recently, and he and I have been talking about this, and you know, he just hadn't checked on this person in a while, and you know, Josh has, which is not true. Josh had been checking on him. Josh checks on everybody, does an amazing job of that, but he's using this as an opportunity to renew his commitment to checking on people. And it's just what a fantastic and difficult thing to take away from that kind of experience of feeling that grief and realizing and being grateful for the people that you do have and doubling down on trying to be a good friend. Josh Lee, and I just remembered this last week that when I was in the ICU, I was in like the brain trauma ICU unit, which it's not as hard to get into as like the emergency room that has the security guard right there, but you don't just walk onto the floor and unless you are being treated or your family. But Josh like snuck in to see me at like 2 a.m. he was playing a gig. He like came in, and then maybe how he snuck past, but like dude came like straight there, 2 a.m. When he certainly just wanted to go home and sleep. I mean, that's what kind of friend that he is. That's who he is. And I think to hear someone like that want to double down to be a better friend, that's inspiring and challenging. And I think that's what the world needs. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Yeah. I don't think we have any answers to, like, how do we be a more hospitable church? Or we don't have any better answers than we have right now. And I don't know that we've got better answers for ourselves or for you on how to be a good friend and a hospitable, helpful person in a time when we really have to stay physically away from one another. But I don't know. I hope that we can try. Do you have anything else, Carly?
Mm-mm.
No? So those are all the serious things I have to talk about. Which, before we move on to nonsense, and we dismiss those in our crowd who do not like the nonsense. Before,
thanks for listening.
Before we send you away, you know who you are. Before we do that, I want to say, if you've got thoughts on the ways that you have, if you've got a good example of how you or someone in your orbit has found a way to extend hospitality during this difficult time, we'd love to talk to you about it. Or if you're feeling particularly lonely and you would like to participate in a, say, conversation slash argument about the Bible, about a story, about anything. In fact, it sounds like if you really want to talk about flat earth concerns, that Monica seems to know a lot about that.
We didn't talk about that on here. They have no idea what you're talking about.
I think they're aware that there are people out there who feel very passionately that the world is flat.
Can I stop you and just say, I don't believe the world is flat, which is what I feel like you're putting out right now. I don't believe that. But if you want to talk about it, yes, we can talk about it. But I don't believe that the earth is flat. Thank you.
Well, I wanted to both pick on you, but also say that if that's something that you are concerned about, then direct your conversations toward Monica, and she will field all of our flat earth concerns. Right?
I'll clear my inbox and get ready for this.
Get ready, yes. All right. So, and if you are in the no-nonsense crowd, then you are free to go. Thank you so much for your time. We really enjoyed being here with you. But for everyone else, why don't you stick around for a second? Right, TV shows, books, video games, anything interesting, fun, goofy, what nonsense has been going on in your lives? And I did not ask you any of this beforehand, so whatever you say, I genuinely don't know. Have you been painting any more train set?
Yeah, actually I have. I got two for Christmas, and we've reshuffled things around at our house, so our old dining room is now a game room.
Nice.
And the furniture that was in the office is now in the game room, which freed up room for a more official office area for my wife, who works from home, and a train table, crafting table for me now. So I've got a designated old man hobby spot in my house.
I like that.
Yeah. And so I don't have to clear it off the dining room table every time we eat dinner. So currently working on a early 20th century mercantile store. So like a five and dime general store type building right now.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I like
that. So I've weathered it with paint, and the next step is assembling it. So
nice. Do the boys help you with this?
No. That's my thing. They're interested in running the trains.
Like once it's ready.
Yeah. So yeah, once yeah. the down at my dad's house where the train layout is, they're interested in. And my nephew actually is the most interested. He likes setting up street signs. He likes both like putting trees in.
That would be Robert. Robert would be designing the.
Well,
town.
As soon as this is all over, I can't wait to have Robert come check this out. It's super cool.
Yeah.
And I did
I
also
still think you need a Godzilla.
Well, yeah, so that's Caden. Yeah, so Caden's biggest thing, this is Grant's idea, was we need to have part of the city being destroyed by a Godzilla.
Yeah.
So that's a long-term goal.
I mean, yeah, if you ever, like, mess up on one of the buildings, you can just be like, okay, well, this will be the one with, like, blood coming out in flames and.
Well, actually, I did assemble an entire house before realizing that it was an O scale building in an HO scale box, which means it's slightly too big for the layout. But I put it in anyway. I don't care.
Yeah,
that's where the giant family lives.
Let's say Godzilla can they can defend.
Yes,
the
they're
rest
the ones that'll
Allentown
come in
town from Godzilla.
I can't wait. This whole thing's over. We're gonna have so much fun.
Oh yes. Any other fun? Thank you, Alan, for that update on the train stuff.
Sure.
I'm trying to think. I'm reading a good book right now, but I kind of just started it, so I think it's good. Like, I have high hopes for it, but we'll see.
Okay.
It's called Midnight Library. I think it's going to be really good. It's book number 7 for me this year, and I think it's going to be my favorite one. I mean, not of the year, but like of January.
Sure.
I think it'll be my favorite of January. If
year.
It like holds to what
well,
I think
I understood
it'll be.
What she meant. She meant when we do the final review.
It won't be like
about...
at the end of 2021. Yeah. I don't think it'll be my favorite book. But I think it'll be good.
Right.
So I've just been reading a lot.
I haven't been doing a whole lot, but I did recently re-listen to Accidental Saints by Nadia Boltz-Weber, and I really like that book.
Ooh, she's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I love her.
Damn.
She curses a lot, though, so if you don't like
she does,
that,
yeah, warning.
Don't read it.
Yeah, that's fair. Have a warning.
Yeah.
She's a great writer, though, so if you can...
If you can handle that, it's worth it.
I mean, well, you say a lot. It's a lot in comparison to other writers who write about faith.
It's a lot for a pastor.
But, yes. But if you are just reading a book written recently, it's not a lot. Is that a fair putting it all in perspective? I feel like I made it worse.
No, I think it's fine to just have your expectations correct. That just because she's a pastor doesn't mean it's going to be...
Don't be shocked if it's a little salty.
But I wanted to be clear, it's not Ebels Weber, it's not Samuel L. Jackson.
Fair point.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Or Joe Pesci, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's all I'm... All I'm trying to say. Yeah, that's good. That's good, Dylan.
No. What about you?
Oh, Laura. Mine is more on the silly end of the scale, which is I'm a big car person. I've been going on a deep dive into random car nonsense, which I will not talk about too much here because even on the porch, that gets a glassy-eyed response. Except there's the show Top Gear. And if I say that to most people, it's you know, you understand. It's a car show. Car, adventure, travel, shenanigans, British. And I have not watched the recent seasons because they changed the cast. The hosts are different. And I watched the show that the old host went off with Amazon to make, that new show. And I just stopped watching the classic Top Gear made by the BBC. But because you can't go out and really do things, I recently got caught up on what they've been making, and it's really good stuff. And they go to really interesting places, like Cyprus. One of the last episodes that they made of the season, they went to Cyprus, and they kind of made a joke about, like, it's a Mediterranean island. We expected it to be really sunny and sandy and... There's an amazing ski resort there. So they were cold in their shorts and Hawaiian shirts. So, yeah, it's just fun to see. A little bit of escapism is nice, to see a different part of the world and have a little bit of fun and just watch people laugh and make fun of each other. Yeah. Like we used to get to do. Or we still do here, hiding in the basement way below the steeple. So, yeah.
We also binged, speaking of TV shows, mm-hmm. if you don't have a whole lot of time and don't need to invest in a long series, The Queen's Gambit, which is 8 episodes long, and it's about a chess prodigy. And she was one of the first women, she was probably the first woman, based loosely on a true story. But it's a good show.
All right.
Queen's Gambit on Amazon or Netflix or Hulu. I don't know
Netflix.
Which one it is. Netflix, thank you.
Yeah. Netflix. All right. Well, I don't really have anything else to contribute to the conversation, but we've been going over 40 minutes, so I think we are out of time for today. We really appreciate you joining with us. We really hope that you're doing okay out there, and we want to hear from you. If there's something on your mind, something's bothering you, or just something you just need a place to talk, because I know how that feels, then please reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. We hope you have a great day, and be as safe as you can, and within your, I guess, your own home. Go everywhere within your own home, and eat everything. I can tell that we are gonna be friends.